This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you in part by Beso.com. Beso is a shopping and style inspiration site that allows you to shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores and brands. And Beso now has a free app available. It's like Pinterest, but for shopping. So head on over to Beso.com. You guys are going to love this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Christine Blackburn, and I want to personally thank each and every one of you guys for listening to Storyworthy. Storyworthy has more listeners than ever before, and really, it's thanks to you guys. So please, tell a friend, a coworker, or a family member about the Storyworthy podcast, and then we can keep the shows coming. Now let's get to it.
Hi, this is Rodney, all right? Hey, all right, you're listening to Storyworthy, all right? Go fuck yourself.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Hyperion Healing in Silver Lake, California.
Well, that's actually, honestly, that's like my favorite dispensary. You knew that, though.
It is a pot dispensary. You've told me. I don't know anything about the pot. My vices all involve trans fats.
Oh,
none of my vices involve smoking or drinking.
Yeah,
they're
Hyperion
all about
Healing.
Meat.
It's a dispensary, a marijuana dispensary. And the reason what I like about them is they sell really good edibles, including the 2x4 and the 4x4 brownies.
You're getting more in my wheelhouse of eating. So that's good.
Well, there's either 2 grams of pot in it or 4 grams. The point is, our guest tonight, Todd Glass,
yes.
he brings forth the topic pot cookies.
Pot cookies.
So, you know, that's where we're at. Hyperion Healing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Oddly enough, the parking lot is just filled with cars parked very badly. I'm not really sure. And it's very hard to get out because everyone's driving 3 miles an hour.
You know what Hyperion Healing has, honest, is they actually have a wheel, not unlike our story where the Wheel of Truth.
Yes.
They have a wheel that if you buy, I don't know what it is, if you buy like half an ounce or something, then you get to spin the wheel and it could land on like a joint, a grinder, a gram of something, a pipe.
Why does it have to be so much fun?
Because people that smoke marijuana tend to like to have more fun, I think. Or maybe more experiences.
No, I think they think they're having more fun, but really they're just sitting in a corner.
No, Hannes, I'm living proof. What are you talking about, man?
That's true. You are a dynamic and exciting woman.
Hey, listen, on that note.
And your eyes are dilated to within like half a millimeter.
On that note, I did want to mention to you guys out there that Storyworthy is part of the LA Podfest this year. And it's happening on October 4th through the 6th at the Sheraton Delfina in Santa Monica. But listen to this, Hannes.
Yes, we are also.
No. Listen to this. It's no longer called the Sheraton Delfina. This is where they throw you.
What? Wait a minute.
It's now called the La Meridian Delfina in Santa Monica. So they kicked it up a notch. They raised some prices, I believe.
Right.
But nonetheless, the LA Podfest is
there. The LA Podfest. We are very excited to be a part of this. And there will be so much marijuana consumed at this Podfest.
That's not true.
You won't believe it.
That's not true. Listen, our date, we're on Saturday, October 5th at 4 o'clock. And our guest is, would you like to tell them?
No, I want you to tell them.
Because you don't even know. Do you know?
I do know, but the moment you pointed at me and said, do you want to tell them? Her name went completely out of my head. Wait, Pearl A Day.
We have
that's
Pearl A Day
on
the show.
Exactly. And I don't even smoke pot. And I have
She's
no.
Amazing.
What would my memory be if I smoked pot?
Singer, songwriter, Pearl A Day, along with Jim Wilson, who is an amazing guitar player. So they're going to
they
tell
were on the
story.
Show before. They are unbelievable.
They're going to tell a story, but then that's only going to be like 15 minutes of the show. And then we're going right to music, and they're going to totally rock out for like 30, 40 minutes.
It'll be the most rocking time you've ever had in
excited.
A conference room in a hotel.
head on over, except that one time in traffic school. Head on over to lapodfest.com for more information. There.
Exactly.
All right. Also, our part of the LA Storytelling Festival, and we'll be playing Shotgun Storyworthy.
Mm-hmm.
The wheel will be there. The clock will be there.
Yes.
Wednesday, October 9th at Shetty's on Fairfax.
It is an all play. If
it's
you come
play.
Down, you get to play.
That's right.
It.
And it's a free event. It's free.
It's totally free. You get to come in, and the only price you pay is the judgment. We will be judging you as a human being and as a storyteller.
There will be prizes, and Michael Duggan, who is the head of the Storytelling Festival, he's going to be one of the judges.
So I will be one of the judges.
And that's going to be very exciting.
And it'll be awesome. So that is, again, where?
That is at Shetty's on Fairfax. Shetty's, you can go to shotgunstoryworthy.com for more information. There's that.
There you go.
Okay, so listen. Tonight on the show, we have one of my very favorite comedians of all time, Todd Glass.
Isn't he America's favorite comedian of all time?
I don't know if he's America's favorite, but I will say this. He may be the favorite of the Keystone State. One of the things I love about Todd Glass is on his show, Hannes, he does a lot of really great jingles. And so what I did was I took some time and I made some jingles up for Todd. So let's hear one of those, Sean.
Summer's baking in the kitchen.
Jingle number one. I enjoyed that. Did you like that?
That was fantastic. And by the way, that was B.B. King. We got B.B. King to come in and record in your recording, in your studio, in your closet.
Oh, you make me laugh. Actually, that was Matt Bardos. My ex-husband, still friends.
Father of your child.
Father of my child, still willing to come to my home, get in my closet, and record a jingle.
This is a modern L.A. divorce right
here. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell my little story about pot cookies. Listen, guys, for many, many years, one thing Christine Blackburn has done yearly for my friends is I have a really big Christmas party.
Yes.
That's my thing.
A big positive.
It's the one party of the year. That's why Hannes is my friend. It's the one party of the year that I actually buy all the food. I buy the beverages. I don't even ask people to bring like a six-pack or wine or anything. And I've always had the parties catered. I've done like Greek, Indian, Mexican. I don't cook. But what does remain the same is my famous Christmas cookies, because I do bake Christmas cookies. I've always enjoyed making dozens of cookies, many different kinds. And not only do I serve them at the party, Hannes, as you know, but I put them in little home, you know, little bags people take home as gifts. You know, I have a lot of time in my life. You know this. I also make.
You do enjoy the crafts.
I do enjoy crafts.
You combine felonies and crafts. I know it's not a felony.
I also I make gin slushies every year.
Yeah.
That's something I do.
That's something I can get behind.
That's something I do at the Christmas party. I make something. It's called a gin slushie. It goes into the freezer, served in glasses, frosty glasses, with a spoon. See what I mean? So there's a twist.
Yeah.
And anyway, so let's get back to the pot cookies. Here's the thing.
It's the problem with the pot. You lose your train of thought, and suddenly you're talking about gin slushies.
Oh, well, I was also going to say, also, every Christmas party, the house band plays, which, of course, is me on guitar and anybody else I can get to play along. Right. And most people are a bunch of babies and don't play, and I do, and I don't care. Okay. this particular year, I believe it was 2001. It could have been 2002. I baked seven or eight kinds of cookies. You know, the chocolate crinkle, the butterball, the Buckeye, and the classic cutout cookies. And I put them out for the party, right, on the beautifully decorated dessert table. Now, this particular year, I also provided my guests with magic cookies that were made by my friend Eddie Crocker, who is famous for making magic cookies.
I'm sorry, his name is Eddie Crocker? How did I miss that?
That's his handle. He goes by Nettie Crocker.
Okay.
Now, magic cookies include marijuana. And I, who I smoke every day, I don't eat more than half at a time. So I properly cut up these little festive magic cookies into little slices before I put them on the reindeer plate. And then I put a little sign there.
Yes.
It was a table tent, and it said, magic cookies. Do not eat more than a few slices. It said that. I even put glitter on the sign. I did, Sean. The party commences. Now, the highlight of the Christmas party every year is the gift exchange. You're familiar with my gift exchange?
Yes.
It's one of those white elephant gift exchanges where the gift can't exceed more than $6. A great gift is a Starbucks card for $6. Or since we're in LA, a lot of swag. That's always a good gift. But most gifts are like sucker gifts, right? Like three bottles of two-buck chuck. Although now it's $2.50, isn't it?
Yeah, suddenly not so stupid.
Some cheesy pharmacy socks or like a book of lifesavers, which is actually a pretty good gift. Okay, so just after midnight, the party ends. My parties are sort of you know, early. I'm older. Am I right? I mean, I'm not going to have...
Well, as per years go on, the party is ending earlier and earlier.
It's got
now, eventually,
sad,
it'll just be an Evite to say hello on Facebook and then we all go to bed by 6.
Just slit my throat, honestly. After midnight, the party ends. Everybody's leaving. And then my friend Carolyn calls me from downstairs. She's my neighbor. She turns out she doesn't feel so well. And there's only one other person left at the party, and that's Jim Coughlin, by the way, comedian Jim Coughlin, who has been emceeing the Christmas party for like the last 10 years.
Yes.
He's in my bathroom. I don't know what he's doing in there, but he's been in there for quite some time. He hears me talking to Carolyn, and when I get off the phone, he says, "Wait a minute, what were you talking about? Was there pot in the cookies?" And I say, yeah, there was. And it turns out the sign that said magic cookies had fallen over. And Carolyn was having a terrible experience, and she had eaten 5 wedges. Coughlin ate 6 wedges. And I told him, I don't think he should drive, you know, I don't think he should drive home. And so Coughlin stayed on one couch, and Carolyn slept on the other couch. And I kept telling them, you know, that it'll go away soon, you guys. You know, now just let me turn up this Neil Young song. Anyway, I felt really bad because neither of them smoked pot. And I didn't, honestly, I didn't mean to, like, drug my friends. I didn't mean to do that.
I think the word you're looking for is poison. You didn't mean to poison.
God, don't say that. No, but I think that that's a kind of a problem when it comes to pot, cookies, and edibles, because you have to be prepared, you know.
Well, not only does the sign fall down, but now that you've described the sign in detail, it's kind of a vague sign. And magic cookies,
man.
I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means. To me, that means it's got extra chocolate.
Yeah,
and
okay.
That's just going to make me want to eat more.
Well, I think that the point is when you do marijuana cookies or you're ingesting any kind of edible, you should A, know that you're doing that.
Right, and I think that cookies with pot in them should be in a separate place from cookies with delightfulness.
Listen, I haven't shared my dessert, my dessert table with those cookies since then. I haven't done that.
Yes, that's a separate
thing. I also think if you're going to ingest edibles, you might want to be outside. Perhaps just go to the zoo, maybe a park.
But the funny part of the story is that people don't know Jim Coughlin and Carolyn are two of the straightest laced people
that's
in the entire world.
They don't
world.
Smoke pot.
So the two of them like tripping balls on your twin couches.
Jim Coughlin.
Frankly,
said
I'm surprised that you didn't come out and they were just like naked in the
Jim
morning.
Jim Coughlin said he just saw like a light show. That's what he said. Hey, you guys, I think it's time for another jingle. That's what I think.
Oh, yes.
Let's
another
hear the
jingle.
Second one, shall
All
we?
Right. Let's hear that.
I love me some cookies.
This one's me, Hans.
I love me some treats. But Todd Glass has a way of making my life sweet. His jokes are so funny. Come so fast, and that is why I can't get enough of Todd Glass. So bring it home, Todd. We're glad to have you on the show.
Funny about that song, Hannes.
Yeah,
I never sing. I mean, I do when I play guitar.
Really,
like,
it's shocking.
But I never actually like go and like try to sing, and I did for Todd Glass.
You did for Todd Glass. You know what? I say enough of our bullshit.
Yes, I say enough of us. Let's go to Todd Glass, shall we?
Todd Glass.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, please stay tuned because Todd Glass is on his way here. I want to talk a little bit about one of our sponsors, Beso.com. You know, Beso now has a free app.
Yeah, I know that. It's awesome because it eliminates the part of shopping that I hate, leaving my house.
On the Beso app, you guys, you can shop for tens of millions of products from thousands of stores and brands, all in one simple app.
Yeah, it's a boredom buster. You can use it in line for coffee or if you're in the post office, you can just scroll through and, see what Beso's recommending for you.
Exactly. And then you can tell Beso, you know, your personal style persona, you know, like classic or preppy, rocker, and then they'll do the searching for you. It's amazing.
I think my fiance is probably a romantic feminine.
Which is why she probably would like to get married someday, Hannes.
That would be... Anyhow, I know I can get her great gifts at Beso.com.
Nice way to turn it around. All right, you guys, download the free app right now at Beso.com. It's like Pinterest, but for shopping.
Beso.com.
Next week on Storyworthy, we have comedian Kira Sultanovich.
And I'll be talking about Jews!
That's next week on Storyworthy. Oi!
Hi, this is Todd Glass, and you are listening to Storyworthy, and I'm proud of you.
And we're back. We have consumed so much pot at Hyperion Healing. We're now at Trader Joe's, and we just keep getting free samples. Like the guy's cutting up the, you know, the vegan hot dog, corn dog, and it's like, come on, dude. He can't. So I'm starving, basically, is what I'm saying. I'm so hungry.
All right, you guys. Todd Glass is here right now. You know, I think we have another jingle.
Wow. What?
Right. Take a long look at yourself. You wanna slap your face? He's not a large man, no, no. But he's got a master plan. He leads the class. It's Todd Glass.
Todd Glass is a comedian who aggressively tours the country with his stand-up comedy. He's also the host of The Todd Glass Show, and he has appeared regularly on programs such as Jimmy Kimmel Live and Late Night with Conan O'Brien. Plus, Todd's got a book coming out next year, an autobiography, I believe, and you can find him at toddglass.com or on Twitter at Todd Glass. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Todd Glass.
Hello. Well, we could talk about that later. You guys really do turn off your mics. Holy crap. So I should just start my story. Is that right?
Please.
Okay. Hope I'm doing this right. All right. Well, you know, when I'm listening to you talk about that story with the pot cookies, I was thinking, it's funny because I agree. I was like, oh, you didn't label them good enough. But then I think of my own story where I didn't label them at all. Now, there's a little bit of a... I'll explain something at the end of this story where there's an interesting twist. But I had a party, and my friend, with air quotes, that's how I say my friend, my partner in crime, my significant other, all the words that I hate, you know, why can't it be something like... So, and there's a reason that I have to tell that part of the story, because once before I told the story and I made it my mom, but... I'll explain later why that got me into a little bit of a lot. It was easier just to say my mom, but it wasn't my mom. It was my partner in crime's mom. Our crime is disobeying God. Anyway, a fake God. I want to get into this pot story, but I never knew after I, you know, did Marc Maron and I came clean about myself. I didn't know what to reference the person I was with, and some emailer emailed me and he said, why don't you say my partner in crime? I was like, I like that. And our crime is disobeying God. So I thought that was funny. So now you know. So it's an important part of the story. So we have a party and there's some pot cookies. Now, look, I should tell you now that we know that it was really stupid of us. So you don't need to, you hear the story, go, how could they put cookies out with no? Yes, in hindsight, I'm aware of that. I am aware that it was, you don't do that. They were just in the kitchen. All my friends smoked pot, but I didn't think about Chris's mom. So we're outside, we're all eating dinner, and we notice there's something definitely different, but we have no idea. We're not going to put that together. And she's like cleaning the table aggressively, and she's taking chicken bones and jamming them in the garbage disposal, like, grr, grr, grr. And I notice, I go, like, she's not usually like that. She's, you know, a French woman. She's, you know, she's usually just, you know, just out there relaxing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I don't know why. Now, we all were on pot cookies, so we were... At that time, I didn't do edibles that often. It was a new feeling for me. No one explained to me that, like, you get a body high. It was just great. And people that won't smoke pot will eat a piece of a cookie.
so you have this just, and it's a very good feeling. We're all sitting around a table. There's 20 of us sitting around this big table outside eating dinner. It's dark. There's just some candles on the table. It's just, it's a really cool atmosphere. And all of a sudden, my friend Gina goes, just, I don't know how she figured this out. She goes, did she have any of those pot cookies? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I go, Chris, did your mom have any of the pot cookies? We're like, we sort of knew right then. Yep, that's what's going on. It all made sense. So Chris goes into the kitchen and he goes, Mom, did you have any of those cookies? Not pot cookies, just cookies. Because, you know, you still feel like a kid in front of your mom. Like, you don't want to, you know, we're allowed to smoke pot. But, you know, it's not about we're allowed to smoke pot. We did make her do something she might not want to done. And I think that's where the embarrassment came in. So she goes, yes. He goes, how many? She goes, three? So we're like, oh, my God. So we don't know what to do. We don't want to tell her there's pot in them. So we get a little, we don't know what to do. We go outside, and then we think it's hysterical. So we're all around the table laughing hysterically. Out of nowhere, my friend comes up, Gina again. She goes, Chris, your mom just came up to me and took her hand. Make like a wavings, like make pretend you're like imitating the ocean going up and down, up and down, up and down. She goes, Gina, is it weird to do this with your hand? Because I keep doing this with my hand. So I go, what'd you tell her? She goes, oh, I said, yeah, it's very normal. Why scare her? Like, oh, everybody does that. That was a good answer. Why go? No. So we don't want to tell her she's high. But in this period, there is a period we know that's going to be short-lived because we had one and we were out of our minds. So we know, you know, she's going to get there where it's not. But there was a period for about an hour where she was so funny and we were laughing. But we don't want to tell her, you know, she's feeling okay. But we go on that short-lived. Then Gina says something else. How does she figure this out? She goes, Todd, I lie about how many cookies I eat. You asked her so casually. She didn't know she was under, you know, interrogation. She goes, like, if someone asked me how many cookies, and they were like the size of a quarter, you know, you could eat 15 at a party. She goes, you need to really find out how many she had and tell her what's going on. So Chris goes into the kitchen. He goes, Mom, he goes, there was pot in those cookies. Like, we need to know how many you had. She goes, oh, my gosh. Because I can't do a French accent. She goes, I think I had like six. They're so little. Now we're getting nervous because she's getting higher and higher. And now she knows why. And she's starting to sweat. And they're giving her ice towels for her head. Well, we don't want to call the police. Now, keep in mind, we're high. Are we okay? We good with them?
Oh, yeah.
We're high, too. So, like, every time somebody gets nervous, we're going, we're high, too. Like, you know, someone's like, don't overreact. I know I'm high. I don't know what to do. So we go, well, we have to call an ambulance. Yeah. Because she could go through it herself. Nothing would have happened. She would have gotten nauseous. She would have, you know, your equilibrium is gone. You get dizzy. You get nauseous. And, you know, cold rags would have just, you know, brought her through it. But that's not fair to her. When I knew an ambulance would come, they'd probably give her a sedative or they'd put her in the ambulance and she'd feel good. Well, we'll hear the story. So the ambulance comes. And while they're on the phone with the ambulance, well, Chris is on the phone with the ambulance. They go, well, listen, we have to tell them why, because we don't want to say, oh, she's just acting weird. What if they give her a medicine that if they knew she had pot in her, they wouldn't have given her? You know what I mean? We're trying to go, we have to be honest. We have to tell, we want her to get better. We have to give them, you know, medical condition. Thank you. So they go, well, listen, it's not a big deal, but since there are drugs involved, we're like, all right, relax. It's not like we're shooting up heroin over here. We do have to send the police. Oh. I'm like, oh, no. Keep in mind, we're high, you know. So I call my friend who's a cop and I go, John, like, here's what's going on. You know, what do I do? He goes, well, listen, the odds are they don't care. He goes, but here's all I can tell you is act a little dumb, but not really dumb. And I knew what he meant. Like, don't disrespect the cop. Don't disrespect the cop, but you can play a little stupid. I'm okay. So I go outside. First thing I do is, like, I don't smoke that much at this time. Like, now I do. I smoke probably 3 or 4 days a week. But that time I had like a one hitter with a teeny bit of pot. I went outside and I heaved it up on the garage in my house out back because I thought, like, they're going to ransack the house. I'm high. So, and then I don't know what I'm going to do. So then all of a sudden the cops come. Now, I think it's better to tell you this story because it makes it better. She really was nice and didn't care. in hindsight. We didn't know that. She walks into the living room. You know, they're in a police uniform. It's very intimidating. The other cop walks in. He goes, "What happened?" The fire department comes in. They
it's a party.
Yeah, it's a party. Yeah. I'm trying to keep the story in order. So she goes, first question she says is, she goes, "Who brought the pot cookies?" You know, not in our head, it's like, "Who brought the pot cookies?" Probably she's just being conversational. It's not the end of the world. She's a cop. She's seen a lot. And act dumb, but not really dumb. Act dumb, but not really dumb. I go, I don't know who brought them. She goes, "Did you know there was pot in them?" Act dumb, but not really dumb. I go, well, in my head, I think, I just don't want anyone to get arrested. But, you know, I go, yes, we did know there was pot in them. So anyway, she goes, "Where are the rest of them?" And then Chris got nervous. He goes, "My mom ate them all." We're like, all right, you don't have to overreact and get nervous. So like, she didn't really care. And then the ambulance is taking her out, and she's on the stretcher, and she starts saying, "Oh, the firemen are so good looking." And then Chris is high too. He has a great relationship with his mom, a silly relationship. They have a sense of humor. He goes, "Mom, stop it. They're going to think you're a whore." So they take her out on a stretcher, and, you know, they don't really care. I feel like this story gets anticlimactic towards the end. So the next day, all my neighbors go, "Hey, I heard Chris's mom got really high last night." And we're like, "Oh, why are you telling everybody this?" You know, we don't want her to tell all the neighbors, but no one cares really. And she got in the ambulance, they gave her a sedative, and she was back home in 15 minutes, and she felt great, and we laughed about the night. And there you go.
Really? They were back in 15 minutes? No way.
Maybe you know what? It's funny how, yeah, you're probably about an hour. Yeah, probably a little over an hour.
Because probably what was happening is her heart was racing. Mm-hmm. So the sedative, the idea is to pull it back, right? How old do you think she was at that time? Like, is 50s, 60s?
She was probably 63.
Oh,
you know,
wow. 63. So that is on the edge of concern.
Yeah, she was fine. And, like, you know, it's funny as you're telling the story, you know, like, you know, I think I have the same relationship with my mom. Like, my mom has a great sense of humor. I can have a twisted, mm-hmm. demented sense of humor. But, like, the whore thing sounds like, oh, that's mean to say to your mother. No, she, like, he knows. The joke was, like, no one's going to think she's a whore. But,
no,
mom, stop.
Not.
You don't want to hear your mom talk about anybody being good looking.
Well,
you
know? I will say that my mother definitely has a thing about men in uniform. Like, my mom, that's her thing, is, like, the cops, the firefighters. You know, I think it's the polyester in the uniform that does make it clingy. And then it's a tucked-in shirt with a belt, which you don't see a lot because men basically are slobs.
I think your mother is like, he's got a job.
Well, that could be part of it.
Oh, so anyway, sorry.
No,
but no,
please. The story about why I wanted to be honest with that story, that it was my friend's mom. It's funny, I'm still my friend with quotes.
Yeah, sure.
Because I tried to tell that story about 2 years ago.
Okay.
We did a pilot at my house. It was shot at my house called Dinner at Todd's, because I, like you, like to have these dinners, and
yes,
it's fun, and everybody does. They smoke pot, and it's a great energy. And they're shooting it, and I decide to tell that story and make it my mom.
Uh-huh.
Just easier. Well, I was hiding, you know,
okay,
my life. So I'm get to the point, and it's like Sarah Silverman and Dave Rath and a few other comedians, Gary Goldman, and I go, so my mom is like, oh my God, I think that I am, like, I do the French accent.
Yeah, and your partner called you out like that, right?
No. He wasn't there. We were shooting this pilot. Dave Rath goes, why does your mom have a French accent?
Oh.
And I start sweating, because you know why? Because it wasn't my mom. It was my friend's mom, and she's French. So Sarah Silverman, at that point, I told her about myself.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, you know, Todd, he's just being silly, and changed the conversation.
Oh, was like, that was
thank
nice
God.
Of her.
Well, yeah, I looked at her with my eyes of, like, staring at her, like, thank you. I love
because
you
so much.
Because
there's a thing with comedians when it comes to truthfulness, because if you're not honest and truthful, somebody can smell that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't hide. It's very hard to hide.
Yeah, it always was altering. I didn't make up stories in my act ever about. The stories weren't made up. I just made up that it was
a
girlfriend.
No, that portion. Now, you have written an autobiography. Is that right?
I did. It's autobiographical mixed with rants.
Todd Glass Talks About Stuff. No, wait, that's a CD.
That was a CD that just got released.
Okay, so what's the new one going to
be called? I sold the book to Simon & Schuster. And, you know, it's funny that you asked the name of it, because they have been so awesome at Simon & Schuster, but the name has been, we're butting heads with the name.
Huh. Right.
And I want to call it, which is a story in the book, called, originally I wanted to call it, If I Could Only Meet a Girl with Cancer. and other stupid things I said to try to keep the closet door shut.
I see. Yeah.
I think the average person would figure that out. My goal when I was 21, it's twisted, it's demented. Anybody with cancer could laugh at it. It's all about my pathetic plight
right.
and not anything to do with me. There's no follow through with the
but
story.
But it's too smart. It's too smart of a title, and it needs to be dumbed down to reach the general public.
Well, we tried to dumb it down a little, but still, and I thought, you might think,
meet
well,
a cancer, meet a girl with, you know, just a cold sore.
Exactly. Yeah. And someone goes, and you know what would happen, and then it's a twisted dement that you're 21. Then she would die.
The thought process would be people would just say, oh, Todd lost his wife, and that's why he's single.
God bless
because you don't want to come out of the closet.
He never got over Sharon.
Yeah, he just never got over her. He was the love of her life. Right. She was the love of his life.
So we tried to dumb it down to if I could only meet
he
a girl.
He still wears her clothes in tribute to her, his dead wife.
Hey, listen, I got to ask
you
this.
So there you go.
Yeah. I got to ask you this. How is your heart?
Great.
And do you, what is, tell us about your heart, because this was a big deal. You had a heart attack, and it rippled through the entire town like craziness.
You know,
because you were A, young, B, it was just out of the blue, and you're not a smoker or anything.
Well,
right?
The long story short is my family I have a history of it, and I was supposed to be on Lipitor, but I didn't want to be on Lipitor because, you know, you don't know what it does to you. I've since learned 10 milligrams of Lipitor
is nothing.
They could have it in the water like chlorine.
Right, right.
I mean like fluoride.
Should.
They might live to see that. But anyway, is that I wasn't on it. And I ate healthy. I went to the doctor. He goes, well, your cholesterol's fine. I go, well, I'm not on the Lipitor. Like I was trying to trick him. You know, he goes,
I'm
not medicine happy. If you can do this through eating well, there you go. Why be on Lipitor? And you proved you could do it. But then my eating habits got worse and worse. I only smoked about a pack a month. So, you know, that's not good,
it's not that much.
Right.
It's 20 cigarettes, right? So that's not even a cigarette a day.
But still not good. Mixed with the food.
See, as a non-smoker, that seems like, it was like, wow, really? 20, you know,
no, but
a
look, like where I'm from back east, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, pack a day.
A pack a month isn't going to kill. It's not good for you. I don't want to sound stupid. So anyway,
I like to have meatloaf with cigarette tobacco in it. It's my version of a pot cookie.
I like it.
But it's good. Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all. So after a show, I didn't feel well. And what happened was, you know, I just, you know, one of my arteries, some plaque, chipped off, like basically, and 100% clogged my artery.
100% artery.
The one artery, yes.
What did you feel at that moment?
Please tell me, because I'm looking forward to trying to avoid this.
I felt like even though everyone said an elephant was sitting on your chest, that's what I've always heard from people with heart attacks. I felt like there was just, I couldn't catch my breath. And I did run around, so a little bit of it was all right in my act. I was running around the whole room doing a bit, it doesn't matter. So it sort of made, and I tried to catch my breath, and I just couldn't catch my breath, and I was nauseous, like I was hungover. But that had happened to me once before. I'm a one-hit pot smoker, maybe two. I don't smoke a whole joint. I smoke one hit, I'm done for the night.
Right.
So I thought maybe that happened to me before where I got nauseous. And long story short, Sarah Silverman was there. Jeff Ross was there. Sarah had been with me a year before when it happened with pot. And then all of a sudden it passes. When it happens with pot, I have to go inward, breathe, go in the corner, and out of nowhere, your eyes open, you go, it passed.
Right.
And Sarah watched that happen.
It's almost like a moment of nausea or something.
Exactly.
It's
so she justifiably was like.
So she's thinking, it's not a big deal.
Right.
This happened before.
Right. Now, of course, when Jeff Ross said call an ambulance, Sarah agreed. She's like, yeah, let's call. So long story short, I mean, it was a crazy night, but I'm 100% fine, which sounds like, how can you be 100% fine? I got to the hospital in enough time where now I'm on no medicine. I'm on my Lipitor.
Oh, really?
But that's
you never got like a stent put in?
I got a stent put in. But I'm not on any medicine now except the Lipitor.
You had an angioplasty though.
I did,
and that's where they go in through
the big vein.
I remember the doctor talk about like when you like look at the like they're like you know God in the time.
Yeah.
I remember him coming in.
Yeah.
And he got down and he went, "How you doing?" And I thought, "Oh, is he like a new doctor?"
Because
he was so nice.
Why is he being so nice?
Yeah. Like and I go, "I'm doing good." I go, "Am I going to need open heart surgery?" He goes, "You know what? I think you're going to be just fine."
Yeah.
He goes, "I'll take it from here." Like,
you know, my father has a pacemaker and a defibrillator in. It looks like a pack of cigarettes under his skin up here by his shoulder. And my father has always had heart problems. He's had two or three heart attacks and he's had open heart surgery. And it's always about his heart. And he is so in love with his cardiologist. Like my father is like, this man held my heart in his hand. And he did. And my father's just like, I will do anything he says. Do you have a relationship like that with this doctor?
I always expected, like, he's a very warm, and everybody that works, everybody at the hospital, I went to Cedars, and you they're so good. You think, you know what I kept thinking? Oh, it must be all my nurses' first year. They still have compassion.
Oh.
How long have you worked here? Oh, I've been here for 15 years. You're
Todd,
like, how the hell do you be
that's
so?
That's because you're a jaded comedian, and you're cynical, and you don't think people can bring you love and goodness.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm just
completely wrong, and now he walks out the door. No, thanks a lot, Christine.
No, I'm a very positive. I mean, I can complain, but I also think there's a lot of decent people in this world.
But that's what they do, but that's what nurses and their compassionate caregivers.
Well, hold on, though. Let's give them the credit they deserve. At that hospital, their standards must be so high, because if you go to another hospital where the nurses have been doing it for 25 years, they get a little jaded. But at Cedars and other great hospitals, you can't tell whether it's someone that's been there for a year.
I think that's a pro. That would be a pro.
Professional, and I think it has to come from where they're working. Because if you go to any institution, whether it's the DMV or the post office or a restaurant or a comedy club, if the staff is happy and kind, it's because the upper people are treating them kind.
Of course, it always
trickles
down.
It's
one of the reasons why, like, Southwest Airlines seems to have a better attitude about things, because the people are being treated, the employees, I know just from a flight attendant perspective, because I used to fly, not wearing that crazy three-piece suit that we used to have to wear, that polyester suit, that alone made us so angry as flight attendants.
And the fact that they
Southwest,
were obsessed, their primary goal was to keep you in the suit.
And
they didn't care about you
way,
or how you were treating customers.
Way.
It's like, no, you have to look
Southwest,
like this.
Southwest, they say, wear khakis and a polo and wear your tennis shoes and let's just get on with it.
So what I hear is, if I'm having a heart attack on a flight, it should be on a Southwest flight because they'll be kind to me.
Well, I'll tell I'll tell you what you don't want to do on a plane, and I've had this experience before, is eat a pot cookie or some sort of edible that puts you over, because now you're in a confined space. You go in the bathroom, you're freaking out.
If you take,
that's a fine line.
You think because I went to Israel with Sarah Silverman and I always go, you can always take more.
Yes, that's so true.
You can always take more. So I took a half of a pot strip.
That's a quarter.
Yes. Thank you. I'm not good with
you.
It. And we had, my God, the best. It was
what a blast.
It was a blast.
See, that's the thing. I just wanted to say, to get back to what you were talking about, the pot cookies, I realize now, because we are fighting about the pot cookies versus, bratwurst, it's like I never had a good experience. The first time I ever smoked pot, I just fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But the second time, I had my first anxiety attack ever. And ever since then, I'm just really weary. Like, you can talk to me about having a little bit of a pot cookie and this and that. It's like, I'm never going to do it.
You don't want that out-of-body, floating experience where you're not in control.
I don't enjoy that. I think that I'm about to go insane.
I have a theory. I agree with you. I would never talk to anybody. I'd never be that person. You should smoke pot. But if somebody wants to, they go, no, I really want to do it. And I hear how, everyone has a great time, but it hasn't worked for me. I go, well, listen, here's what I think. I think when you say you get paranoid, it's for a reason. And I try to create an atmosphere at my house that if people want to smoke, that they won't get paranoid. I think the paranoia comes from when I smoke, I'll say things that are innocent. I'll bare my soul.
Yes.
I'll say things that are childlike. It's very honest.
In the moment.
And could be childlike and could be. So if you're around people that you're not comfortable, you don't want to have those experiences. But I have a fire pit at my house. And I remember one night my friend's girlfriend saying something that reminded me of why it's can be such a special experience. And it was my friend Jimmy Dore and his girlfriend at the time, Stephanie. Somebody judged somebody when they were high. And she very affectionately created the atmosphere I want. She turned to the person who was judging and went, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. This is all a safe zone.
Wow.
And I always repeat what she said. Like, if you're here and you get silly, all I'm going to do is look at you and go, you are so okay.
That is so cool. I want to come to your fire pit.
I would love to have you.
Hey, wait, on that sweet note, I want to hear another I want to hear another jingle.
Oh, sweeter,
I love it.
Sweet jingle.
It's
this
jingle
is
time.
From singer-songwriter Allie Gertz. She's amazing. She goes by the moniker Cosby Sweater, and she actually has a song about comedians, and you're not in that song, but she does love you, and this is her tribute from her to you. Allie Gertz sweats, you guys. You go over to CosbySweater.com. That's actually her website, Cosby
Sweater.
That is
so, that gives me the chills.
It gives me chills too, but her voice does that to me. She has a, she's only about 22 years old. She has this innocent, angelic quality. Boy, oh boy, she was on our podcast a couple of months ago.
That was so sweet.
So that's for you.
Can I get a copy of that?
She was not high as a kite. Yeah, I'll send you the MP3.
Now, I know we're probably up against time.
No, we're not up against time.
Can I
wait? You are Todd Glass. Do you understand?
Thank you.
You know who you are? You're Todd Glass.
Now I feel bad that I might. Well, look, it doesn't matter. It's all good for good radio or podcasting. What you said about the, I hope I'm tapping into what you thought.
Right.
You know when someone doesn't smoke pot? They, no matter what amount you smoke, some people, and I thought that's what you were saying, yeah, he might have done, they treat you like you're some pothead hippie.
Yeah,
and it's like,
it's
stupidly
stereotypical.
Right.
It's
and
just
we all,
incredible ignorance.
And we all agree that, look, whatever the definition of an alcoholic is, look, that's not the point of this, that there can be, we all agree, though, there can be people that drink responsibly.
Right.
And people
then there's
that don't.
Dudley Moore in,
right,
what was that movie?
Arthur.
In Arthur.
So I feel
hilarious
like.
Hilarious alcoholism.
So Spicoli from Fast Times, right, at Ridgemont High, and then.
And I feel like with pot, when you're not even near the brink that would make you a potaholic, let's say
right,
when you're nowhere even near,
right,
it's not
it.
Even debatable, like,
right,
if someone could break it down, they would go, you smoke, if you drank the equivalent to what you smoke, it would be 2 glasses of wine a day,
right,
and if you had 2 glasses of wine a day, there's a period where you would drink where people would go, I don't know, it's on the border, 2 glasses
every
of wine
day.
Nobody would blink an eye at 2 glasses of wine a day,
right.
Nobody.
Yeah,
if that's how much pot you smoked, people do, they go, oh, like, and I want to go, stop that. It
now
makes you look immature.
It's ignorant and it's immature.
Well, I don't know, ignorant. He doesn't seem ignorant. I don't want to throw in the word ignorant.
No, I'm not saying to honestly,
glasses,
he never judges me. No,
I thought you were saying, like, what's this contention? Remember you said.
Oh, yeah, but that's just a joke that he doesn't understand that part of me. But listen, Hannes and I have been best friends for like 17 years.
No. If you drink a glass of wine a day, by the way, you are French.
Yeah, no. He doesn't care, but I'm saying that
people do.
From my hometown, from Pennsylvania, and the fact that, you know, medical marijuana is not allowed in the state of Pennsylvania. Like when I went back to visit this past spring, my sister wrote to me, you're welcome to stay here, but you may not do any illegal drugs in my home.
Because she's a lawyer, right?
So then she writes in quotes, under the state of Pennsylvania guidelines. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you, you wouldn't smoke cigarettes in her house either.
No, I've never.
But you could go outside and smoke, couldn't you?
That's my point. So then I automatically think she is so ignorant and it's so embarrassing that she would think that what does she think I would do? Like, she's so ignorant to even understand what taking a hit is that she would think it could harm something in her home, and I wouldn't.
You would never
smoke in somebody's house.
When I was. I never take vacations, but I took one about a few years ago, and I met this couple, Joanne and Barry, and they were probably about 72, and for lack of a better word, so cool and so hip.
I love that.
Which, by the way, a side note is, you know, some people say they have kids because they don't want to be old and lonely, or if you don't have kids, they go, first of all, there's so many wonderful reasons to have children, but to be old and lonely, not to be old and lonely, is not a reason to have children.
No, it's not.
Because that's not
a reason.
How many children never speak to their parents?
Well, because first of all, you're saying, you're so annoying that no one's going to want to hang out with your old, so you'll breed some people that have to.
You have a legal obligation to listen to your bullshit.
Right. So, again, there are wonderful reasons to have kids. But I realized with Joanne and Barry, real quick, and then I will get back to the pot thing, is that they were so interesting and so much fun and such a pleasure to be around that there was a variation of age on this island. There were kids that were 22. There were people our age. There were people everywhere. But everyone wanted Barry and Joanne around them. They'd be like, oh, Barry and Joanne coming? 22-year-old kids.
Yeah, they're the most popular people.
Yeah, because they were fun.
Yeah.
And they were. So if you don't want to be old and lonely, don't turn into a crotchety old fuck.
Of course. Oh. Yes.
So anyway.
Too late for me.
So, now listen.
No one. Hey, by the way, complaining does not age well. And I complain, but I try to have that fine line of still being positive.
Yes.
Because you think, well, who wants to hang around people that are negative and young? Neither, but as you get older, it gets worse. And if you want to have people be around you, you can complain and you can still vent, and that's fun to do and it's healthy. But also, at the end of the day, be positive, that more positive than you are negative complaining.
Yes, I love that. You have such a great attitude, Todd.
I try to.
You are really, you have created a movement, and I think now with your book coming out, it's going to even get stronger. Because I understand you came out of the closet because you were tired of the bullying and of people, children, committing suicide over their sexual orientation.
I don't want to look like, you know, so, what is that called? Like, oh, yeah, this is why I did it. But it got me off of my ass.
Right.
And I knew it would be something good for me, and I also knew that, like,
as a public person,
for the audience that does know me and the comedic community, there's a lot of young people that go to those places. And by the way, it's not only people that hold secrets. I learned that's why I said empathy is not a competition. There's other people that hold other secrets, and I learned that after I came out was that people would come up to me that hit a DUI they got, and then, yeah. or they hit something, they did just drugs, passion. Or they were in jail. Everyone hides, and if you let it, you know, so. But anyway, yeah, there were a lot of kids that were killing themselves. And by the way, when I always say this when people go like, well, bullying tried to made me who I was. And yes, if pain comes your way, you will take it and turn it into a positive. But that doesn't mean it has to be there.
No, it's not the way it should be done.
No, there's plenty of pain. Don't worry. There's still going to be your first breakup.
You'll get knocked down.
You're going to knock down. You're still going to have your first breakup. You're still going to feel death. Those things, there'll be plenty of music if we don't. Still add to that,
of course,
torturing people for no reason, you know.
Absolutely.
Just,
yeah.
I just realized, because you said that people who are like, well, bullying makes you tougher, are the exact same people. They're like a heckler who are like, I made you funny. Remember when I interrupted your show and then you had to shoot me down? I helped you. It's like you didn't help me. I would have still been funny in the show, even if you didn't interrupt me.
So anyway, the point is that... Yeah, I did decide that I would, if I hid who I was, it sort of gave merit voice, that it's worth hiding.
Yeah, your voice is important, I think, and it just says so much.
It's interesting that so many people who had different, because, yeah, people hide all sorts of stuff. There's a, you know, being in the closet, that's because you're gay, that's obvious. But it's like people don't understand that people,
there's a lot of other things.
Themselves. That
self-torture themselves.
I just have to remember, you were talking about the older couple that was fun. Who was that woman who used to come, remember the Christmas parties we were talking about? The older woman who came and had the best pot in the world.
Joyce, your friend Joyce.
Yeah. She was a much older woman, and she would sit on the porch and smoke pot, and she had an oxygen tank the entire time.
She passed away.
That might be a little scary.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring you down, but she was older.
You know who else used to come to my parties all the time was Murray Gershons. Remember Murray, the older guy that would come with Joyce?
He was in The Hangover. He was the older
and
man.
He just passed away.
He was getting
away.
The medical exam. He just passed away. Yeah,
like
he was
three,
on the
two
Sarah Silverman
ago.
Show.
Yeah, he just passed away. And he just passed away.
Watching them
talent.
Have an argument, he said, is it a play? She's arguing with her sister, and he thinks.
We got another song to play for you, and this is one that Hannes decided to lend his talent.
Look, let me tell you something. This is like Christmas for me.
Is that right? I'm glad.
Well, I love jingles.
We know, and Christine is to be because she.
I'm a huge jingles
that
fan.
People weren't making jingles for you, and you made jingles for everyone. You deserve jingles.
I love it. Can I get a copy of some of these?
Of course, I'll give them all to you. I'll send them right to you.
Cool. Here we go.
Yeah.
I like it already.
Oh, love, Todd Glass. We love Todd Glass. I'm so hungry. I'm hungry all the time. But why am I Irish now? What happened? I got so hungry my accent changed. Oh, love, Todd Glass. We love Todd Glass. Could someone bring me a muffin? Please, stop it. Stop it with the horns. I just want to... I'm so hungry. I've got to go. I've got to go to the pub.
Who is
that? That was Hannes Finney, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's you? Oh, that's great.
Getting Hannes into my closet to record like that is that's a feat. Yeah.
Besides the lyrics, which are obviously just, they're hilarious, who's doing the music?
That's something on GarageBand called Magic Garage. You know it, Sean?
I love it.
It's so fucking cool, man.
It just exists.
I do a lot of, I do audiobooks, I record audiobooks, and so I'm always in GarageBand, and I got to know that program, man. And there's
like
this one thing. Well, and in fact, if you go online and just, you know, type in how to make a jingle, they're going to refer you to GarageBand because it's really
the simplest way to go. Yeah, because I had the same question. I was like, did Matt put this music down? And you're like, no, it just exists.
Yeah.
It's like,
now,
oh,
you
here,
have a musical director. What's her name? Lynn. Well,
we affectionately call him that.
Oh, but she's doing it, isn't
he? It's actually
he. I'm so sorry.
We have a Lynn Shore who does
Lynn
it.
Lynn Shore.
Who got a little busy. And now there's a guy I met. His name is Joe McKenzie. Joe McKenzie, yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I forget his last name, and he is so dear to the show because he does all the music now pretty much.
That's amazing.
Is because he came up to me after a show in Portland and he handed me a CD and I loved it. So now we talk every week and we called him Jingle Joe. Now we switch it to Lyricist Joe because it sounds more classy.
That's really great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Story Worthy?
Absolutely. Look at me sweating.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
It stopped on pets. So I was watching a dog for quite some time, and her name was Ursula. And it makes me want to get a pet because I realized, yes, you know you can love a dog, but her face, she was a bulldog, and her face would radiate so much love that I would take it and mush the fuck out of it. I would mush her face. I'd get my hands on either side of it, and she loved it. I would do it with just enough pressure not to hurt her, where it was the pressure you could like a massage, how, you know, just before it hurts. I just mush her face and shake it and go, Ursula, I love everything about you. And then she would rip roar all around the house. And I realized it was a different energy than when I would go, Ursula! Then she would just get excited. But this was love, so much love. And I thought about something that would, from mushing her face, I was thinking, would I ever get to mush a lion's face or a bear? And I thought about it. If I had like Bill Gates money, I would give the zoo whatever I had to. That you want $500,000 to just when the animals are coming out of anesthesia, you know, because they need it. Let's say they get a tooth pulled. I would be able to be there when they were like 30% recovered and then mush their face.
I would not do a 30% recovered. I would do like maybe a 15% coming. I mean, anesthesia is a fine line. I know. Think 30% of a tiger or a lion is a hell of a lot.
Well, I thought about that. I would trust the experts when they thought it was safe because they've seen them come out of anesthesia. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, anesthesia.
So many times, they probably know even on the
window.
Clock. The window where it is nowhere near even dangerous.
You could just take their little chumpies on either side.
Picture the lion and that little nose, and I would mush it. And then the belly. I would take their belly.
I like that you think that they get asked this question all the time. So when do you think it's safe to smush the lion's face?
Well
most of the time, we're at 15, but you look like a strong man, so I'm going to go with 10%. By the way, I just want to say, I know you want to go back to something, but your story about being safe in the safe zone. See, I just have to say about pot, because I feel I should continue to say, it's like, see, my paranoia was never the cops are going to come to me. My paranoia is I'm going to go crazy because my brother's schizophrenic. He's crazy. And my dad, as it turns out, he's crazy. It's like, so my fear was always like, I'm going to turn into a crazy person.
That's very
legitimate.
Which
I think perhaps
at your from you.
Safe zone, perhaps I would not feel that way.
But that's very legitimate for you, yeah. Manas, because your father was mentally ill. Your brother is mentally ill. And yes. So that's fair. To you, if you feel out of control, that's not a good thing.
And, right. And my mother was from Germany, so being out of control was not an
acceptable
option in the house.
And also, yeah. I would tell you, do so little. You can't be in a hurry because, you know, I only did mushrooms once my entire life.
I did mushrooms only once,
and
too.
And it was only a good experience. I'll make this very quick because my friend Gina, the same Gina, right, went camping with us. And, we all knew it would take a while. So a half an hour. No one bugged her. We had a half of a cookie. It was a mushroom cookie.
Right.
And everyone knew to wait. So, but 40 minutes later, we're like, Gina, no. And then an hour later, we admitted we were high. We're like, yeah, but we're high. But this is not mushroom high. And guess what? She would not give us those cookies. They were in her car parked.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, an hour and 15, we went, oh.
Good for her that control. Yeah.
Well, the whole night we realized it was so much fun. We were giggling.
Ridiculously hard.
A different high.
Yeah.
But if we would have had any more, it would have been a shitty night.
Too much. Yeah. It's a very fine line when you talk about a pharmacopoeia in a personal way.
Yeah. So just wait. Be patient.
Be patient. And also, if you start feeling yourself like out of body, like when you feel like your feet might be leaving the ground, you've had enough.
Yeah, I would never get there. That's so funny you say it like that, because I go, here's how high I want to get on the mushrooms, and it was perfect. If I start floating a little bit, it's an inch, and I can come right back down.
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
No, neither do I. I never wanted to be that way.
Touch base.
Right, I got to touch base. How come you never did them again?
You know what? I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to. Matter of fact, on my podcast, I wanted to have Steve Lemmy and Kevin Heffernan from Broken Lizard.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Super Troopers. I said, I'll send a car to get you.
Super Troopers.
I always say, because that's where, Beer Fest, Super. I'll send a car to get you both.
If you'll come trip with me on my podcast.
Exactly.
That's like the best fucking podcast ever. I would totally listen to that.
I think
would
it would
totally
be fun.
It would
be funny,
so
though,
too.
If you listened back to it the next day and it's just you guys just giggling like nobody's talking. You thought you had this great conversation.
For an hour.
You know, I'd listen to it.
For an hour.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right here. Thank you so much for coming.
It was
we
pure joy.
We can't thank you enough. And honestly, Pot Cookies, it's a perfect title.
Thank
it
you.
It says it all.
And thank you. Whoever did those jingles is so sweet. I love it. And
that
whoever
was all
the,
Christine's idea.
Who sang the one song that gave
Allie
me
Gertz. Allie Gertz. She's amazing. And like I said, she goes by the name Cosby Sweater. It's a moniker. Right. I'll send you it for sure. And yeah. Then also Matt Bardos. Thank you so much to Matt.
Matthew.
Thank you. And all right, you guys, on behalf of Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network, and of course, Jorge Reyes helps us out every week. And you know, John Thomas Griffith, Hannes, that's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
I had no idea who he is.
And on behalf of our storyteller today, Todd Glass, and you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story-Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.